I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, only two women soldiers have received the Silver Star since World War II. The latest is a 19-year-old medic serving in Afghanistan, and I will speak with her in just a few minutes. But first, we want to talk about the war at home. Los Angeles has been beset by a recent surge in gang-related violence that has claimed a number of innocent victims, including children. Adding insult to injury for some is that this is all taking place amid a scandal over a faked memoir about gang life in Los Angeles's South Central neighborhood. A couple of weeks ago, I talked with a young woman, Margaret Jones, who wrote the book Love and Consequences. She told me that she grew up on the rough streets of L.A. Actually, she lived a comfortable life, literally, on the other side of town. When a New York Times reporter revealed the lie, the writer, whose real name is Margaret Seltzer, responded that she'd wanted to help kids who were actually in the gang life by telling their stories. That reminded me of something she said in my interview with her before we knew the story was fake.
I think, and this comes from, you know, how I was raised, I think that God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. And I had a point recently where I had to call James Jones from Gangsters for Christ about something, and the conversation broke me into tears, you know, and he said, God gave you this because he knew that you would tell the truth and that you could get this story out there and you could make people understand what we're going through.
We find that we're still intrigued by Seltzer, about why she did what she did, and in looking for clues, we decided to try to find Reverend James Jones. Frankly, we wondered if he was real, or was he also a figment of Seltzer's imagination? Well, he is real. I caught up with Reverend Jones, who was on his way to the funeral of Los Angeles High School football star Jameel Shaw Jr. The 17-year-old was allegedly shot to death by gang members. I talked with Reverend Jones about his efforts to curb gang violence, but I also wanted to know about his relationship with Margaret Seltzer, and if he remembered giving her those words of encouragement prior to her book's release.
Actually, we did have that conversation. I think she may have, as far as the timing on it, because I want to make something perfectly clear. I did not know Miss Margaret Jones. She called me after I was under the impression that the book had already been finished. And I did encourage her as far as telling her that the Lord saw using her as a vehicle to get the word out on those.
What name did she use?
Margaret Jones.
Margaret Jones. Because
yeah.
One of the things that we were wondering is perhaps whether she had borrowed your name. But by the time you got to her, she called you that she presented herself as Margaret Jones. What did she say when she called you? And obviously, I would argue that perhaps pastoral responsibility still sort of plays a role here. So to the degree you feel comfortable,
absolutely.
Why did she call you?
She left a message for me telling me that she had been referred to me by a reputable on the streets here in Los Angeles, and she told me that the overview was that she had been a product of the foster care system, and she had an interesting life in that God had blessed her to get out of that life and graduate college and become a writer.
What did she want from you? Did she want you to bless the book, as it were?
Well, actually, it was more or less a thing where, as when the book came out, that she would be coming to Los Angeles, and she would want me to take her around, introduce her to some, give her some outlets that she could promote the book.
Did you agree to do that?
Yeah, I did.
How come?
I saw her as really a champion for the foster care system. I saw it as the Rocky, so to speak, for the foster care, because foster care children get such a bad rap when I speak to the youth, as far as a lot of times they think that, well, because I've been dealt a bad hand, then there's no hope, no future there for me. And where I saw her as just being a springboard, again, for those foster care children, to let them know that there was hope.
Did she sound like the real deal to you?
She absolutely did, and she must have done an excellent job as far as research. She actually knew reputables. She could tell me about folks in the community in different areas that she had stayed in. So she did her homework.
Who was the person who put you two together? Do you know him?
Yeah, he's incarcerated in Oregon. The story she gave me, I don't know how true, because of course I haven't spoken with her, but the story that I got is he was one of her so-called playboy brothers as she was coming up, and he gave her my number in an effort to more or less hook her up with somebody who, again, was reputable in the community.
But this is a name you knew. This is definitely
somebody else for sure.
Was your sort of go-between. How disappointed were you when you found out that Margaret Jones isn't who she said she was?
A lot of folks were mad with her and upset with her, but I'm more disappointed. I haven't talked to Margaret, so I don't know what motivated her to do that, but I saw it. I was so disappointed because, again, I saw it as an opportunity to, you know, to help the foster care system. I saw it as, like I said, a springboard. I could see different programs coming out of that, maybe, you know, some support groups coming out of that.
Some of the folks, you're right, a lot of people are very angry with her, and they are, they're angry about a couple of things. They're angry, number one, because she's white, and they feel that she sort of appropriated an African-American story. And number two, they feel that they're worried that other people aren't going to believe people when they come forward with these stories now. And I just, what's your take on that?
Exactly. That's, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. And down to where you have folks that would, you know, be receptive to something like that. I had no idea. You said she's white. I had no idea.
You didn't know?
No idea. What, no idea.
What did you think her ethnicity was?
I thought she was a young African-American sister.
Really?
I did not know she was white.
In talking to her on the phone?
In talking to her on the phone. That's exactly.
Did she tell you she was black?
No, she never did. But I assumed it. I assumed it from the places that she said she lived and the culture that where she spoke of. I'm telling you, she did some real good research.
So there was nothing in her story that didn't add up for you. I mean, she seemed to know what she was talking about. She knew the places she was talking about. She knew people that you knew, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just one more thing is that none of us has heard from Margaret since this whole situation emerged. I'm assuming she hasn't called you either.
Of course. No.
And her real name is Margaret Seltzer, by the way. And okay. She's from Sherman Oaks.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so if you were to speak with her, just wondered what you might say.
You know, I listened, first of all. I want to know, you know, just why. You know, why? What motivated her, you know? And I'm sure wherever she is, you know, now, I mean, I'm sure she's having a lot of second, third, fourth, and fifth thoughts. She could have came a different way, and this could have been a good documentary or what have you, because we did this story. It's a story that needs to be told.
Well, yeah. Tell me about Gangsters for Christ. And you grew up with the late Stanley Tookie Williams, one of the founders of the Crips.
Co-founder, yeah.
One of the co-founders of the Crips, right? He was one of your compatriots, right, back in the day?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Gangsters for Christ.
Gangsters for Christ has been in the community now 15 years. We're a full-fledged ministry. We work close with the LAPD clergy. I'm a member of that. One of my proudest moments is I helped establish the community called Action and Accountability here in Los Angeles, which is an organization that was founded after the death of a young man by the name of Devin Brown 3 years ago. And we have been meeting for the last 3 years consistently every Tuesday here in Los Angeles.
One other thing I wanted to talk to you about while I have you is that, you know, right now there seems to be, I don't know what you want to call it, maybe a surge in violence. It's just been a lot of violent incidents in the news lately.
Lord help us. Yeah, I'm on my way. When I leave here, I'm actually going to little brother Shaw's homegoing celebration down in Los Angeles. That's the young man from LA High. You've heard about that.
Yeah, a football star was shot. Because apparently, this is what they're saying, is that he was asked who he was affiliated with, and when he didn't answer, these two guys shot him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Why do you think this is happening right now?
In a nutshell, it really comes down to the underground economics. There's a perceived power that we have. You know, if just your so-called turf is making more money than somebody else's stuff, then you're the one in power. That's a major part of it.
Some people think it's a racial thing, kind of black on Latino.
I'm glad you brought that up, because if it was just racial, then our streets would be full of blood constantly. Just because those that are involved may have been Latino and black does not mean that it was racially motivated. You got to remember, the question was asked to him, what set was he from? So it's still gang related.
Where do you think this is all going? Do you see how this ends? Or do you see what I'm saying? Is there any sense that there's any progress being made here?
Well, I think the progress is being made, and I'm really optimistic about it. I can see, because it's so out of control now. We're now in dialogue with, you know, some of the powers that be, so to speak, whereas before you had the law enforcement thinking that they could arrest their way out of this. They realize now that it has to be buy-in from the community, and we have to be all inclusive. It's going to be a lot of, if this stuff didn't get out of control like this overnight, and it's going to take time But as far as it totally being eradicated, I can't see that. But we can put a serious dent in it, at least to the point that we can, you know, live with some level of comfort in our communities once again.
Reverend James Jones Jr. is founder of Gangsters for Christ. It's a community building organization in Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Reverend, for speaking with us.
And thank you so much for having me.